WWE gets Santa Claus happy. Is AJ Styles about to show us a darker version of his character? And 44 title changes in 2018? Let's talk about that.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you guys for joining me, and I hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas, or if you're across the pond, a Happy Christmas, right? Happy Christmas. And again, it was a very crazy 2018. As I mentioned in the intro, the little bit of a teaser, I mentioned 44 title changes in 2018. 44. I'm not making that up. And the reason I'm not making that up is because WWE posted that just a few hours ago on their website, showing us every single title change. 44. As if that's an accomplishment. That's something I would not be publicizing if I were WWE. Okay. 40. 44. Good God. Really, to steal a quote from JR, good God almighty. Really. And by the way, guys, if you haven't checked out JR's podcast, here's a free plug, JR. JR's Jim Ross Report, really good stuff. Really, really good stuff. And really, everybody should check it out. I'm currently listening to his show with, he did with The King at Hilarities. I guess they had a Q&A session with fans. It's awesome stuff. So there's your plug, JR. But 44 title changes. I mean, come on. It's almost unbelievable. That's almost one title change per week. I'm off by about 8 weeks, right? I mean, we all know 52 weeks in a year, but it's close enough to say almost one title change per week. That's just not right. I mean, and again, that's not something I would publicize. That's not an accomplishment. That's not something you brag about. That's something that you should be ashamed of. I mean, that's called ineffective booking. That's called hotshot booking. No long-term planning whatsoever. Sometimes knee-jerk reaction booking. That's a symptom of a lot of different issues in creative. And speaking of creative, you have the second week of the fresh start in WWE, which I'm going to get to that. And, I know that it's the holiday week in WWE, which is a typically eye-rolling at best and childish and takes me out of the moment in every single segment. And I'm going to get to that. I think you get a taste of what I'm going to say. But guys, welcome once again to the WWE Podcast. And this is your, I try bi-weekly. Sometimes it's once a week. But I do try twice a week. Maybe it's a little difficult this week with the holidays and everything and just the craziness that goes on around that. But I'm here for your listening pleasure, and if you don't want ads and you like to listen to me ad-free on a feed, you can do so at patreon.com/WWE podcast. And that's where you can, just for a dollar, a buck, a month, you can get all these ads removed and also some exclusive shows, and also starting my new What If segment where I talk about what if scenarios in professional wrestling. You know, what if The Undertaker never went to the American Badass character, for example. So these are topics that I'm going to address, and for now I'm going to keep them part of this free feed, but it will eventually migrate over to the patreon.com/WWE podcast feed, where it'll make its own show, and you guys can send me your suggestions about what if, and we can dive real deep into it and get into it. I think it's a pretty cool thing to do and think about, and I try to make it realistic. I don't go off the wall, and that's going to be coming down the line. Follow me on Twitter, too, at the WWE Podcast, and you go to Spreaker and Spotify, iTunes, which is now Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, anywhere that you can find Google Play Podcasts, this show is there. It's under the WWE Podcast. So please subscribe and give a rate and review on Apple Podcasts, as many of you have, and I really appreciate that. Best way to help the show. Really, it really is. So all of that is available to you anywhere you have an app. And I had somebody message me today and ask, well, I don't have Apple. Well, lots of options if you don't have an Apple iPhone, right? Spreaker, as I just said, is probably the best way to do it. So, all right, let's get out of that and get to the real meat of the show of why you're listening to me. And that is talk about Raw, talk about SmackDown. And boy, oh boy, it's, you know, for a fresh start, this felt like the same old, business as usual, nonsense holiday week of WWE with references to presents, references to gifts, five or six individuals dressing up as Santa Claus. Vince McMahon, who feels like he's a brittle old man at this point, dressing up as McMantaclaus. But actually, if you guys remember, when Daniel Bryan lost the Royal Rumble, he didn't lose the Royal Rumble, he was eliminated from the Royal Rumble a few years ago by Bray Wyatt when everyone was expecting him to win, ended up being Roman Reigns, that following conference call with the media, wrestling media, Vince McMahon had stated, well, you know, I guess Santa Claus didn't come for the fans this year. So I don't know if it was a troll on the fans wanting to get what they ask for by him playing the Santa Claus character. I'm sure there was a little bit of a trolling going on there from Vince McMahon. He just seems off. And I mentioned this last week. Something's not right with Vince. And I don't mean that in a good storyline way, like, oh, maybe this means something. I mean, something's wrong with Vince McMahon. Like, he's not Vince McMahon. He seems, as I said, brittle. He's not as sharp as he was. He seems kind of lost at times. No direction on camera. Like, he has an idea of what he wants to do, but it's not well thought out. He just kind of wings it on camera. And I'm all for non-scripted promos, but have some direction and look like you're awake. I mean, it seems like Vince, I don't know, maybe I'm just spoiled with the Vince McMahon of the, you know, Stone Cold feud back in the 90s. I don't know. Something's not right with Vince. He just doesn't seem like Vince. And it's carried over to this week, and I doubt that it's intentional. I think it's Vince being Vince, and it's 70-some-year-old Vince now realizing that Father Time is also coming for him as well. And I don't mean to be morbid. Okay, I'm not saying Vince McMahon's gonna die any day. What I'm saying is that even Vince McMahon is not immune to Father Time. And I think maybe his, I don't want to say if his mind's going, I don't know, but he just doesn't seem as sharp. So maybe some of you guys have noticed that as well. And so we had McMantaclaus, we had Rhino dressing up as Santa Claus. I mean, it's embarrassing. Obviously the New Day with their embarrassing childish antics this week with SmackDown Live. I get it's holiday week. I understand that. But does everything have to revolve around it? Does everything have to revolve around Santa Claus and presents? Why does every match have to be themed that way? Why does every promo have to include that? I don't. It's stupid. And this does not. This, you know, this isn't such a reflection of the bad creative over the last year that this 2018 has brought us. You look back, I mean, you're going back all the way to the 90s where WWE just thinks that making Christmas an entire focus of a show is a good idea. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And last year, I know this is maybe a little bit overstated by me, but when Braun Strowman was getting hot last year and he was really making his mark, some people thought he was the next Brock Lesnar, and really catching fire, they had him dress up as an elf, and it was posted on WWE.com. Are you kidding me? Oh, it's all fun. It's in the good of the season. It's about kids. Okay, and I mean this in a very respectful way. F that, okay? And what I mean is, if it's about the kids, there's a zillion a zillion other shows and Christmas movies that are all about the kids, and I love some of the Christmas movies, but I'm watching a wrestling product. I don't need to see the guys that I'm starting to believe in dress up as elves and Santa Claus and put all of their feuds aside for the holiday season and make a mockery of what they're doing by putting gifts and being just comically I don't want to say comically because it's not comical. I would just say embarrassingly performed. It's so bad. This is the part that makes me embarrassed to be a wrestling fan, is this crap that WWE just thinks is entertaining. I don't mind if there's one or two mentions, and maybe you have one visit from Santa Claus, who you never know who is actually going to be dressed up as, and there's one segment about it. I don't need 10,000 gifts on stage that are actually empty boxes that Vince McMahon pointed out that we all know. Okay, I mean, that was kind of a wink, wink, nod, nod to everybody that trolls this whole Christmas segment that WWE focuses around every single year. Okay, and then, oh wait, don't worry, next year or next week with New Year's, we'll get a lot of, you know what my New Year's resolution is this year? My New Year's resolution is to put you out of your misery and reclaim the Intercontinental Championship. It'll be something along those lines. I mean, just insert your favorite championship into that promo, and you have your promo that I wouldn't say everybody, that's overstated. Half of the promos that happen on Raw and SmackDown next week will be related to what their New Year's resolution is, uncreatively being tied into their promo. It's not only predictable, it's terrible. I love the product. As critical as I am at times, this is just an annual rant that I have. It's not needed. Just come up with something different. You don't have to mention this in New Year. It's 2019 will be the year of the Viper. It'll be something, I mean, again, insert wrestler X into that. I don't need to hear about it. I know what the New Year is. Why do I need to hear the same promo repeated 18 times? All right, so look out for your New Year's resolution / what I'm doing in 2019 promos next week. That's the promo alert for the December 31st and January 1st versions of Raw and SmackDown, so keep an eye out for that. That's a spoiler. Yeah, spoiler alert. All right, obviously, and John Cena returning. So that's, I guess, news if you didn't expect him to return this early. I think it may be a bit earlier than WWE expected. I'm sure Vince McMahon probably made a call to John Cena and said, hey, we're in trouble with these ratings, and we need a jump start. We need a quick fix that obviously is not the best way to deal with things if you want something to be sustainable. But John Cena now really focusing his entire career outside of WWE and being very successful at it. You have John Cena being that quick spike in the ratings. So we're going to have John Cena from January to April. He'll be on the Rock schedule and maybe show up for SummerSlam. He'll be on Brock Lesnar's schedule, show up for, you know, SummerSlam, maybe a pay-per-view after that, Survivor Series, Rumble, Mania, and then come back for SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Rumble, Mania, and so on and so on and so on. Eventually, maybe just getting to SummerSlam Mania to just WrestleMania. And then John Cena gets put in the Hall of Fame, and we call it a career for John. And look, John Cena has had one of the best careers in WWE. There's just no denying it. As much as I would love to see him turn heel, as many of us have, and look, there's still time. There's still time to have John Cena turn heel, and it may not be a bad time to do it. And the reason I say that is because John Cena is not the focal point of WWE anymore. WWE is thriving just fine without John Cena. And the heir apparent to that was the Roman Reigns character, which we all know the struggle of that character turning heel and the resistance to do so. So with John Cena out of the picture, you can bring him in on a heel basis, have the run in kind of a risk-free environment, because it's not built around, the product isn't built around John Cena anymore. So if you're going to turn John heel, hell, this is the time to do it, because there's really no risk. What are you risking? Nothing. I would love to see it. And I know all the there's been a million heel turns in 2018. But John, I think, could do a hell of a job. I really do. The problem is, who would be standing in the other corner of the ring facing him? That's the question. What would you be gaining from this other than it's a John Cena heel turn? It should be to build up a babyface that WWE is looking to build long term. Whoever's across the ring from him should be that they believe is the future of the business. So big shoes to fill, but it's also a hell of an opportunity that WWE has right now. There is no better time to turn John Cena heel than in 2019. So my two cents for your opinions. I'd love to hear your opinions. What do you think about turning John Cena heel? What's the risk at this point, right? I mean, we've already kind of removed John Cena from the WWE mentality or consciousness. I don't expect to see John Cena anymore. I know that even when he comes back, it's for a very limited period of time. So again, what I say to WWE, why not? Really, what's the risk? Okay, well, what if we have Make-A-Wish kids that, John Cena's a bad guy. I don't want to see him anymore. Come on. Even if you're a Make-A-Wish kid, you should still understand the business. And I'm sure John Cena wouldn't put it in a way that is offensive to those individuals. You can be a bad guy, a really bad guy, but still be a big star in the eyes of those fans. And all right, I'm getting way off topic and something that hasn't even happened and probably won't, but I'm advocating for it. All right, and now the last thing I wanted to talk about before I get into a little more detail about Raw and SmackDown is the AJ Styles attacking Vince McMahon segment that happened at the final segment of SmackDown Live. Some people took this as a heel turn. I don't think it's a heel turn. The reason I say that is a couple of things, a couple of reasons. Number one, if they turn AJ Styles heel, if that's the goal here, so let's just assume that that's the goal. Who's your top guy in SmackDown? Who's your top guy? I mean, really? Who would oppose AJ Styles on equal footing as a babyface? Tell me who's left. I mean, successful babyfaces in WWE are a very, very rare breed right now. Very. So, that's number one. Number two, I think it's an edge that WWE or Vince McMahon is trying to give AJ Styles. Everybody wants to see an edge. Even if you're a good guy, you want to see that mean streak. Case in point, Becky Lynch. They tried to turn a heel by giving her an edge, making her ruthless. After what she did to Charlotte at SummerSlam, we all know the story. Although she's cooled off, unfortunately. And look how that turned out. It's because she had an edge. She had a really good backstory. The fans were organically behind her. And now you have AJ Styles, who has kind of been treading water since losing the WWE Championship. Clearly in contract negotiations, but based on this being in the final segment of this show, and when you're in the final segment of this show with an angle like this, this tells me that you clearly have extended your contract, okay? That you wouldn't be... If AJ Styles was separating from WWE, something like this that would leave us with more questions than answers would not have been presented at SmackDown Live. Okay, he would kind of fade into the background slowly and then make his way out of WWE and go to New Japan or whatever he was doing. So I don't believe that this is a heel turn. It doesn't make sense for SmackDown Live to have this few baby faces and... Really, WWE in general, not just SmackDown Live. Raw. I mean, who's the top guy? Seth Rollins? Dean Ambrose turned heel. Randy Orton turns heel. Daniel Bryan turns heel. I mean, really, who's left? Kevin Owens coming back as a babyface? Sami Zayn coming back as a babyface? Maybe. I mean, but there's no guarantees. They are seriously short. They're an endangered species right now. So, yeah. I really, really fully believe it's not a heel turn. And also, if you look at how the segment unfolded, it wasn't AJ Styles provoking Vince. It was Vince provoking AJ. And AJ giving his just kind of tired, this is the house that AJ Styles built, kind of giving Vince his, basically his own marketing. I mean, his own slogans, his own catchphrases. That is what AJ Styles did. And it seems as if Vince has really just tried to just give AJ a spark. He has tried to give AJ a spark, and that's what engaged Vince to slap AJ, and then AJ retaliated. So there's no heel. There's nothing there. There's no AJ Styles just being a bully to Vince and out of nowhere hauling off and cracking him. I mean, that's not what happened here. It was Vince who slapped AJ, and AJ retaliated, trying to just light a fire in AJ. I mean, Vince McMahon did this back when Stone Cold turned heel, and at Invasion, it was the new Stone Cold who was this guy that was giving Vince hugs and singing him songs and making him cookies and all that stuff. And Vince came out on SmackDown Live and said, "I want the old Stone Cold," and he tried to provoke Stone Cold to do that. And eventually, we got the old Stone Cold after kind of a convoluted second heel turn after he turned on Kurt Angle. And anyway, this is back in 2001. But it felt like the same thing. He was trying to bring out a different side, a darker side of AJ Styles that I don't think we've seen yet, and I think it's time to see. There comes a point where, as successful as a babyface character is, it's time to add a new layer of his character or her character. And it's time. Daniel Bryan felt the same way. Kind of like, oh, cool, yeah, he's a big star. Not much going on, but this guy's cool. He gives good promos, he puts on good matches, and he's accomplished, and we like him. But there's no momentum. It's being on a treadmill. That's what it's felt like with Daniel Bryan, him coming back after his return to wrestling. And they turned him heel, and I think that's so far a good thing. In this case, I don't think a heel turn is what AJ needs. It's a new level of his babyface character, and that is a darker, deeper, a little more sinister, but still good, standing up for what's right, badass. And that is, I think, what AJ needs. He's, as I said, he's spinning his wheels. So, again, that's why I don't think it's a heel turn. I really don't. And God knows that WWE can't afford another heel turn with the way that they are just mismanaging their talent at this point. So, let's get into a little more detail of Raw and then SmackDown. So, again, I won't go into every single detail of a three-hour Raw, but I want to touch on some other highlights that I haven't mentioned yet. And Ronda Rousey and Natalya. I thought this was a pretty kick-ass match for Raw. And not just because it was a damn good match, but also the standards of the holiday editions of Raw and SmackDown tend to be just throwaway shows. That it's almost like going watching Raw when they go overseas to the UK. It's like they're in their own universe that nothing really gets progressed. It's kind of throwaway shows. That's just the mentality of it, right? And so this to me was, I mean, this was a really good match and one that I wouldn't mind seeing again. It was very competitive. Like, Ronda has just exceeded my expectations, and I think the expectations of many, in terms of how far she's progressed in such a short time adjusting from MMA to WWE. Almost Kurt Angle level in terms of how quickly she's picked it up. And so this was, I think, a very good match. Obviously, you have Natalya go down. She taps to the arm bar fairly quickly, quicker than I would have liked to have seen it, but she did. And no heel turn by Natty. I was watching very carefully, expecting Natty to be a sore loser, and maybe it's a delayed sore loser reaction. Maybe we're going to have Natalya, come in during a compromising moment with Ronda Rousey in terms of, oh, you think she's going to come out to help her? And she turns her back on Rousey and off we go to the races. Unfortunately, I don't think that's the case because it's WrestleMania season. And unless they're going to do a pit stop with Natalya, and they might, they very well could, because there's still quite a bit of time, between now and WrestleMania, right now it's a collision course with Ronda Rousey. So maybe it is Natalya who keeps her busy over the next few months. But because, you know what, maybe it is, because the more I think about it, the more I'm talking myself into it, because she's moved on from Nia Jax. You can't have her go right into Becky Lynch. That has to be kind of simmered for now, put on low heat, and just slowly turned up to a slow boil. And that's the way they do it, because there's just so much time between now and WrestleMania. What, 4 months? Wait, no. 3 months? A little over 3 months. Quarter of a year. So there's a lot of time to build this. And I think you'll see a flash of it. A lot. I think the stage will be set in a big way at the Royal Rumble. And so maybe Natalya is the one that keeps her busy, at least for a month. But this match, nonetheless, I think was very good. And as great as Ronda Rousey has been, I mean, you have to give a lot of the credit to Natalya, who is, I think, you know, I know is one of the most respected women in the locker room. She's looked at as a leader. She's the ring general of the women's division on Raw. And I think did a good job of laying out that match. I believe she was the one calling the match. And Ronda clearly did her part, but this was in large part due to Natalya. I really believe that, and so I can't take anything away from her. And I hope, and I think we will see a second round of this, but Natalya in the bad guy role or bad woman role. Well, I'm fine with that. I mean, the men's division is just a disaster when it comes to baby faces. I think the women's division, when it comes to baby faces, is in a little bit better shape. Obviously, with Becky Lynch leading the pack on SmackDown and Ronda Rousey leading the pack on Raw. Although starting to get a little bit of a negative reaction, if you're listening to the audience lately, be careful. WWE needs to tread very carefully right now with Ronda. If they're trying to keep her in that fan favorite role, they need to be very careful of how they're booking her right now. I'm seeing a trend. She's teetering, in my estimation. She's teetering on a possible organic turn by the fans. So just if that's the goal, and maybe WWE is going to say the hell with it and just apparently give us what we want, whatever that is supposed to mean. And, you know, by the way, the more I listen to Stephanie's promo and Triple H's promo, the more I kind of get pissed off from last week. They give us nothing. I mean, I know I talked about this at length. So Stephanie says, oh, they're going to empower the fans. Well, how? How are they going to empower the fans? What does that mean? By doing what? All of a sudden you're just going to listen to us like you weren't before? Because that's what good businesses do, right? They don't listen to their fan base. They think they know better than us and they don't listen. The only way to get their attention is to stop watching, which is apparently the only way to do it. Because everything that's said on Twitter and said on any kind of social media platforms, oh, it's internet fans. Okay, well, wait, WWE Network is on the internet. You have every single superstar have an internet, well, I'd say 95% of WWE superstars have a social media account that they use daily, almost to a sickening level. I mean, look at Paige. My God. Can anybody just get kind of whisper in Paige's ear like, hey, we know you're good looking. Do we need to see your boobs hanging out of every single picture and every single video that you post? I mean, I'm a man. Okay, I'm a married man. Do I like to look at boobs? Come on. Is the sky blue? I mean, of course. But it's, I don't need to, when I watch wrestling, I don't watch it for the sexy looks of the women. I look at it for competition. We need the competition part. And I'm getting off track, but when they're talking about the internet fans, oh, the internet, that the internet fans are a label that doesn't exist anymore in this 2018 to 2019 year. It just doesn't exist. That label is outdated or antiquated. It's almost, Shane, it's almost as antiquated as automatic title rematches. I don't know where the hell they came up with that one, by the way. So anyway, I don't know how they're empowering the fans. It makes no sense to me. They give us nothing, just generalizations. Oh, we're listening. Well, how? Through what? Through what medium? Where? Are you going on Twitter? Are you looking at all aspects of social media? Are you just listening to the audience in attendance? What does this mean? How do we do this? Do we vote? There's just no specifics. Because I don't think they know. They're giving us what we want to hear without any actual real plan. It's just to make us feel good. It's to say, oh, they're listening. They tell us they're listening. Don't, okay. So to me, it's okay. That's nice to acknowledge it, but now show me you're listening. Don't just tell me you hear us. Show me you hear us. So, and again, I advocated that everybody jumped on WWE because nothing changed, and we're in week two of this, quote, fresh start. However, as much as I have demolished Raw and SmackDown for being this undesirable children's awful Christmas show, and as I also realize it is the holiday versions of the show, which are typically the most, I'd say, throwaway shows, and, in general, and the least watched across the board. I mean, the holiday numbers I would expect, and I did see earlier, were down from 3.1 million to 2.5 million this year. So, I mean, down across the board, but I mean, still not, I mean, it's still terrible, even for holiday numbers. So I get all that, but I gave WWE till WrestleMania to show me, not just tell me, that they are indeed, quote, listening. Whatever the hell that means, or whatever avenues and methods they're using to capture this listening that they're doing. I don't know. It's just bizarre. So again, I really enjoy the Natalya and Ronda Rousey match. I thought that was very, very good. She has done more than I could ask or think. I really do. Even whether the fans turn on her or not, I think she's a success, no question. So we have Vince McMahon as I said, dress up as McMahon Claus and tell us that he's going to give us women's tag team titles sometime in 2019. Okay, well, that's not a surprise. And WWE tried to fake the movement by having crowd plants in the audience on the hard camera side, or shooting towards the camera side, right? You weren't on the camera side because that means you're behind the cameras, but in a very convenient location that were signs that looked the same every week that looked like fans were just trying to create a movement. So WWE tried to create a fake movement on their own, which just pisses me off in and of itself. And so to me, I mean, women's tag belts, cool. Fine with it. Just don't try to fake a movement that doesn't exist. All right, so that was one. John Cena returning to WWE TV and Raw and SmackDown. I gave my thoughts on that. And Dolphins Drew will fight in a steel cage match on New Year's Eve edition of Raw. Okay, fine. I guess that's and there we go with the gifts again. We're going to get three gifts. Come on. Come on, please. As JR would say, stop the pain, please. All right, so we had Elias defeat Bobby Lashley via pinfall and the Miracle on 34th Street fight. Again, stop the pain. I will say, though, that the spot with Bobby Lashley being knocked into the Legos and a Legos getting a chant, I mean, that was kind of funny. However, that really had to hurt. I mean, Bobby Lashley did get a little cut up. I don't know. It had to have been for the Legos. As we all know, if anyone stepped on Legos in their life, imagine falling onto them from, you know, the second rope. Yikes. So we had, also what else? Oh, Bobby Roode and Chad Gable defeat the Revival to retain the tag titles. The Revival, despite the WWE putting them on TV and all that because they were being underutilized, are still getting no reaction, to which I'm sure Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon are saying, see, this is why we're not putting them on. Nobody's reacting. Well, you haven't done anything to make us react. Okay, you can't just rely on the NXT carryover fans to react. You have to give us the mainstream audience who may not be watching NXT or understand what the Revival are about and what they stand for. You can't just rely on the narrative of the announcers to give us background, which is good, but you need more. You need more of a story. Give us something. You can't just have them come out in basically generic outfits and just do wrestling and go home. I mean, we need something, and we haven't got anything. Give us a vignette. Give us a video. Give us a history. Nothing. Nothing. That's so. Finn Balor defeats Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. McIntyre officially entered himself into the 2019 Royal Rumble, by the way. I think he's going to be a major, major player in that as well. I would not be surprised if he wins the Royal Rumble altogether. And I'd be fine with that. I still am pretty far out from giving my predictions on the Rumble. I mean, we're weeks away from that. Not too far away. We're only, a few weeks? So predictions are forthcoming, but I would not put him outside of my top three in terms of possible entrants that would win. And of course, we had the terrible R-Truth segment, by the way. Another one that dressed up as Santa Claus. Ugh, God. Stop. Please. Please. Please stop with the 7-second dance breaks. It's like chewing a piece of fruit stripe gum. Or Juicy Fruit. Both of which, if you guys have remembered those two gums, lasted about 10 seconds. And then you just, I'm done with this. I mean, it's not a comedic relief part of the show. I don't know. Right? Maybe the Santa Claus thing is what did it for me. I'm over it at this point. I don't know. And then doing that dance, that Fortnite dance or whatever the hell it is. I don't understand it. It's what a fall from grace for Carmella. That's all I have to say. All right. All right, we had a women's, the Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Ember Moon defeat Mickie James, Dana Brooke, and Alicia Fox via pinfall. So, again, the babyfaces win here, and that's been a trend as I've seen lately. Maybe WWE is doing a couple things here. Oh, it's holiday week. We got to make people feel good, and we got to send people home happy. Or it's also, and maybe in combination with, well, people aren't happy with the booking. Let's make the babyfaces win, and maybe it'll make them feel better. That's not what I want. I like to see heel heat. I want that feeling of anger. I don't always have to be, quote, sent home happy. That's how you ultimately get engaged, is feeling anger. You don't have to just feel one emotion of kind of like complacency, like, oh, cool. Yeah, the babyface won, so there's no heel heat. They blow off the heat as soon as they get it on the heel. It doesn't make sense to me. I love a good heel that just angers me to just no end, and you want to see him get destroyed, and WWE has none of that right now. No heels on the entire roster give me that feeling right now. None. Daniel Bryan a little bit. Daniel Bryan is the only one I think that right now has some true heat behind him. Maybe a little bit Samoa Joe, although they haven't done much with him either. Good to see Heath Slater back in action. Seth Rollins defeated Baron Corbin, as if we're supposed to believe that's a real main event. I mean, I'm done with Baron Corbin wearing his, you know, half tuxedo outfit. I mean, we're supposed to believe that that is the best gear to wrestle in. I mean, I get that that's part of his gimmick now, but boy, am I tired of seeing Baron Corbin on my TV screen. Seth Rollins is one of the best competitors in WWE, hands down, bar none. And you have Baron Corbin, who is a tired face, and unfortunately going to be the face of the lowest point in WWE history of ratings. And even though really it's not on Baron Corbin, it's really on Vince McMahon. But we're all supposed to believe it's on Baron Corbin. Or at least WWE storyline, they're trying to pin it on Corbin. Which, oh, we're taking over. The McMahons are taking back Raw. Well, what the hell have the four of them been doing the last few years? I mean, that's what they've been doing. So anyway. So we get all these Christmas wishes from WWE superstars. Just awful. I don't like it. And you have Dolph Ziggler, who doesn't get any professional camera work, has to use a selfie camera to send in his promo when they do those just, you know, seventh grade art project, clip art type of promos that look like they were done with, you know, Windows Movie Editor, and put him in there. It's just, come on. I don't get why they do that. We're going to shake things up. We're gonna make it feel different. Well, why for Dolph? He doesn't have access to a camera? I mean, he can't just grab a cameraman and say, hey, videotape me? Oh, boy. Good grief. A little Charlie Brown for you on this post-Christmas. All right, and then a little bit on SmackDown, and then I'll close the show here. Usos and the Club defeat Sanity in the Bar. The New Day was on commentary, wearing Christmas-themed outfits. And then Anderson Gallows hit the Magic Killer on Cesaro for the 3 count. Okay, well, fine. They're Anderson and Gallows are getting a little bit of momentum. It's nice to see them back on TV. Let's see what they do with them beyond this. I don't need them to lose next week, win 1 week, lose. Again, we all know this. This is not a new concept of 50-50 booking, doing no favors for anyone. It's so true, though. So, to me, it's consistency in winning for these two. Let's see if they keep this trend going. The R-Truth, by the way, the R-Truth and Carmella was on SmackDown Live, not Raw. That was just, again, I really have nothing to say about that. At least Bryan attacked Truth. I actually enjoyed that. I still enjoy Daniel Bryan. I'm just belittling the fans for, you know, destroying the environment and the polar ice caps melting. I'm liking Daniel Bryan. He's very believable. So he's being, you know, attacking people behind from backstage and all of that. I'm loving it. I really am. Mustafa Ali defeated Andre Almas, and he beat him clean. And I think Mustafa Ali right now is really, in a very short period of time, making a very big impact. I think the key here is going to be not just showing us what he can do in the ring, but showing us what he can do on the mic, giving him a depth of personality, something. I don't want him to be TJP or who's the other one that everyone said was he looked like an elf. He's escaping me. I can't remember, but I don't need him to be a nameless, faceless guy that does cool flips in the ring and then you never see him again. He has no real personality. I need him to give me something. I need a connection with Mustafa Ali. Who is he? What is he? So, all right. Let's go on to the last couple things here, and that's Hardy and Samoa Joe. Again, this one ends in DQ, and Samoa Joe puts Jeff in the coquina clutch after the bell, putting a little heat on Joe. Fine. I really have nothing to say about this because they just don't. When you think they're just about to pull the trigger on Samoa Joe, they pull back. So I really am not getting excited about this. Until they do something substantial with Joe, put a championship on him, I'm not really doing much. And the biggest biggest news story coming out of... Oh, Neville. Jeez, there it is. Neville. How did I miss that? The elf ears, by the way. Neville. I don't want him to be a Neville. Like, I don't need to be an Austin Aries. These great talents that are just not given the proper time on TV to build a character. There. Completed my thought. And that is Rusev defeating Shinsuke Nakamura for the United States Championship. I thought this was a very good match. Crowd was well behind Rusev. Rusev Day, again, is getting a little stale, by the way. Obviously, with Aiden English no longer behind it. I think it's worn out its welcome. I think Rusev needs to continue to evolve and give us something else. Rusev Day is getting a little bit old. It's time to continue to evolve for Rusev because he has, for the first time in a long time, the most momentum he's had behind him in years. I believe that. And he's a babyface. He's naturally funny. He's got that naturally funny, real personality. Lana, obviously, is nice to look at. I don't think she is going to be doing much of the women's division. She's still, for better or worse, the sidekick of Rusev, and that's fine. I think they will work well and gel well together on SmackDown Live. That's my thoughts. And again, I'm still a little more higher on SmackDown Live than I am on Raw. But we'll have to see, and we'll have to see how things evolve as we go on. And one quick last thing. And as I promised, the what if segment. So what is my what if segment? And again, music will be forthcoming because I think music is needed here. This week's what if segment is: what if Roman Reigns returns at the Royal Rumble? Now, I had not heard any rumblings of this. Pun intended. I didn't even mean to do that, but pun intended, I guess. I have not heard any news coming out of this. It's just something I've been thinking about over the last week. What if Roman Reigns is a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble? What would happen in terms of A, crowd reaction, and B, storyline? Well, I think A is a pretty clear-cut answer, and that is, I think the crowd would explode. And I think that the crowd would absolutely open arms welcome back Roman Reigns. And number one, they'd be surprised, so they feel like they're part of a moment, so that there'd be a bigger reaction. And two, the real-life battle that he's had with cancer makes him human. It's humanized the robotic, superficial push of Roman Reigns that WWE just relentlessly, Vince McMahon relentlessly has just force fed everybody. And I think that turning him babyface or keeping him babyface would be the smart move. But hey, I would be all for a heel turn there. I don't care what Roman comes back as. Heel turn would still be on the agenda for me. But I'm not in charge of WWE. So what if, though, he returns? Who would he face? Would he go on to WrestleMania to face Brock Lesnar again? Would he go on to face Braun Strowman? I mean, because if he comes back, presumably he'd have to win, right? I mean, it's if he won. Maybe he gets eliminated. maybe comes out, you know, number 20 and gets eliminated by whoever his WrestleMania opponent's going to be that year. That seems to be what they do sometimes. I mean, that's what happened to The Undertaker and Roman Reigns. There was a hint there at the Rumble where they were headed. But just a what if, guys. What are your thoughts? What if? And I know you're probably saying, oh, it's way too soon. Well, what if? I mean, you never know. Nobody knows what's going on in Roman Reigns' personal life, how the battle's going, what his diagnosis is currently. So let me know what you guys think. What if Roman Reigns were to return at the 2019 Royal Rumble? So think about that. Let me know what you think. And again, please follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. I will try to do another show in just a few days. As I said, this is at my best damn effort. I'm trying to do this bi-weekly. And so I know that you guys, many of you look forward to this, and many of you are just got to have this show, and I appreciate that, and I love doing this. So follow me on Twitter, as I said, the WWE Podcast. Follow me on really anywhere that is social media based. I'm there. And anywhere that you have a podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, all of that, please give me a 5-star rating and review on iTunes/Apple Podcasts if you have a few moments. It really does help me out. So guys, again, hope everyone had a great Christmas. Here comes the new year. Here comes all the New Year's resolutions promos. Let's get ready. And as always, I'll talk to you next time.